Hello, everyone listening, specifically Encounter Life Church and all those who are on the web right now. It's an honor to be able to bring the word to you today. And just before we get into it, we're going to go into a word of prayer, and then we're gonna see what the Lord has to say today. Let's go into a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have blessed us with your word. When we are in need of truth, when we're in need of hearing from you, dear God, thank you that your word has everything we need in order to meet with you and find out what it is that you have to say, Father. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. I ask, Lord, that I would speak only what comes from your heart, dear God, and from your truth, dear God. Lord, I pray if there's anything that doesn't need to be said, I pray it wouldn't be said. And I pray, Father, that those who are hearing, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to hear what it is that you have to say, Father, and what your word is speaking to us today, Lord. And so I pray now, Lord, that we would hear, we would listen, and that we would apply. And the blessing that comes from that, Lord, I pray that we would receive it and pass it on. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the title of today's message is The Point of Breakthrough. The Point of a Breakthrough. I believe that with all the things that have been said about breakthrough, the truth is that there's a point to it. There's a reason that God is giving you or doing a breakthrough in your life. And when he brings you to that point, the truth is that you have to ask, why have you done this? With all the things that come with the breakthrough, the time is also important for you to ask the question and go before the Lord, why did you give this to me? For what reason have I received this blessing, this breakthrough? I believe it was in Dr. Dwayne's message that he said, part of breakthrough is us boldly pursuing God, and that would entail that breakthrough is based on follow through. But as you get to follow through, and as you move forward to actually receiving your breakthrough, the next thing is to say, all right, well, why did I receive this? What's the point? And so it's out of that we're looking at three people who received breakthrough blessings. They received from the Lord a miraculous gift, a gift that was absolutely clear. No one else could have done this. Each one came to a point in which they received from something from the Lord, and they knew that it was him. That's one point, but the truth is that looking at these three individuals, we'll be able to see what God is doing, why he gives a breakthrough. What's the point? And so the first person that we're looking at today, her name is Hannah. And for some of us, we may be familiar with the story of Hannah, but if there are those who are not familiar with it, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the way it starts off, it says, there was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zophu, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. In Samuel chapter 1, verse 12 through 17, we have, as she kept praying, that is, Hannah kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace and may God, the God of Israel, grant you what you have asked of. The truth is that when we meet Hannah in her situation before her breakthrough, one of the first things that we notice is that it brought her great anguish. That's the main reason most of us come to God for a breakthrough. We need it, and something within us is broken. Something within us hurts and is in pain. We're lacking something, and so there's this missing area, and it hurts. And so we notice Hannah's hurting, mainly because Peninnah, the other wife, was teasing her. She would make fun of Hannah and make sure that she had a bad day and never forgot that she was barren. But there's another part to that scripture. There's another part in those verses. And it says twice, actually. It says the Lord had closed her womb. The Lord had closed her womb. And it was out of that Hannah came before the priest Eli. And she would go to the temple and pray. She would go to the temple and lay before the Lord all the anguish, all the pain that she had as a result of her barrenness, as a result of her not being able to have children. And because of that, she brought her concern before the Lord, and it just so happens that Eli was there one day and saw. And the priest Eli sent her on her way and said, may the Lord grant you what you have requested. And to make a long story short, the scripture says in a period of time, Elkanah laid with Hannah and she became pregnant. The Lord had answered her prayer. But the truth is that there was more to what was going on than just her having a child. You see, God was doing something. He had a whole purpose for the reason he, in the first place, had made Hannah barren. And so as we get into this, the first thing that we have to note and point out is that God is sovereign in everything. If there's something that's missing, it's possible that it's missing because he didn't put it there or didn't allow it there or took it away. And so we can't deny God that. We can't deny that the scripture says that he closed Hannah's womb. And while that would seem like a negative thing, It was only setting her up for the greatest blessing that she would encounter. The breakthrough took place in her womb. But what he was in fact setting apart was the child. You see, what God does, if he says no to something, or he says yes to something, what God does is holy. That means it's set apart. It's consecrated. God has special purposes for that yes or that no. And because of that, there was a no that God had said for a period of time in Hannah's life. No, you will not have any children. Not right now. No. And even though it hurt her, the truth is that God knew that his plans and his purpose was much more than what she understood at that time. And so what we come to find out is that God, in saying no, was actually blessing her and setting apart what would be birthed or what would come through her breakthrough. I'm going to say that again. When God does a breakthrough, the point for which he does that is because he's setting you apart. He says, I have special purposes for you, and I have special purposes for the breakthrough, whatever comes through the breakthrough. That is the reason he gives a breakthrough. He says, I'm not doing a small thing with Hannah, and so I have special purposes, and for that, there will be a time, there will be a place in which she gives birth. But up until then, I am saying no. But in the fullness of time, there will be a point in which I say yes. And the son that was born to Hannah, his name is Samuel. And Samuel was no ordinary child, and he would grow on to be no ordinary man. You see, what God did was that he blessed her, set apart her womb, and blessed the child. And what God wants us to know is that while we're waiting, know that while you are waiting, he is doing something in you, through you, for you, for something to be done by you. Hannah didn't know that the child that she was going to have would be Samuel, who would later anoint David, who would later be the lineage for the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. You see, God was saying, look, I have a special purpose for Samuel, and I don't want him to come an ordinary way. Whatever reason, whatever purpose God had for that, that's some things are hidden. Some things aren't completely laid out clear as to why God is doing a thing a certain kind of way. But we know that God intended for Samuel to be set apart. Because in the next few verses, we'll see that Hannah had made a promise to God and saying, I'm going to give him to you. If you give me this, I'm giving it back to you. Because it's yours in the first place. He's yours in the first place. And so, in truth, we have to have that mindset as well. Whatever I receive was his in the first place. I have to give it back to him. That's the reason we ask why. That's the reason we ask, why did you bless me? When we receive our breakthrough, know that God is setting us apart, but what comes through the breakthrough, God intends for himself and for the purposes for which God created us. And so we have to ask the question, why? we have to ask, what's the point of this breakthrough? Well, we see in Hannah's case, God said, I want this child to come special. I intend for him to come by special, holy, set apart means. It was no trivial task for Samuel to be serving alongside the priest and be able to hear that the Lord was speaking to him. It would be the same case that we find later on wherein God is speaking to Samuel as to who is going to be the first king of Israel. I mean, who's going to be the king of Israel that's going to usher in the King of Kings? It was Samuel who was able to go to David's father and find out which son is the one that God has anointed. And through God being able to speak to Samuel, Samuel was able to pick out and say, no, not this son. No, not that son. And when it came to David, he knew that the Lord had anointed David. And so he anointed him. God had a special purpose for Samuel to play in ushering in our Lord and Savior. And it's because of that breakthrough that God gave Hannah. And she did not fail to ask why and realize that what she had received, God meant to use, and he had special purposes for. But she wasn't lacking. She was not lacking at all. The truth is that Hannah would go on to have five more children. She would go on to have five more, I believe, sons. And so God made up for the fact that she had given Samuel away to the priesthood. She would be able to go and visit him occasionally, but he didn't live in her house as a normal child would, because God had set him apart for his purposes. But God didn't want her to feel the pain of having received a blessing and then give it away. And so God blessed her five times over with more children. The point of the blessing that we see in Hannah's life is that God is doing something holy in your life. God is doing something holy in our life. He wants to set it apart for his specific purposes. But what we find in Job chapter 42, what we find in Job may be the ultimate reason for a breakthrough, the ultimate point for a breakthrough, the ultimate reason of why we ask, why did I receive a breakthrough in the first place? Why did God bless me in the first place? I think what takes place in Job's life is unique in that God is meeting us in a different way so that we could see him a new way. And so that takes us to Job chapter 42. Now, Job is long, so I'm not going to read all of Job. I'm just going to paraphrase as to what took place and meet you right at the point of breakthrough. You see, what took place in Job's life is that Scripture says that the enemy, Satan, came before God. And one of the things that Satan mentioned before God is that he was going to and fro throughout the earth. And God said to Satan, the accuser of the brethren, he said to Satan, have you seen or have you considered my servant Job? And one of the things that is noted about Job is that he was a righteous man. he did what was right. That was the goal for the things that he did. There's some things in scripture that allude to the fact that Job probably wasn't an Israelite. He probably was not a Hebrew. And so out of that, Job may have been a Gentile, but yet he was still doing what was right. And so that was unique. That was unique to all the other surroundings of, of Job. And so what takes place is God says, have you seen my servant Job? Job longs to please me. He knows that there's a God and he wants to please me. He wants to do the right thing. But see, what Satan says is that Job only wants to do the right thing, so you bless him. The only reason Job even serves you in the first place is because he knows that he'll receive a blessing from you. You've given him riches, you've given him family, you've given him all kinds of things that would indicate God is blessing this man. And Satan says, if you take all of those things away, I bet he will curse you to your face. I bet he will deny you. I bet that he will want nothing to do with you, God. And so God says, to prove you wrong, you may strike Job, but you may not take his life, but you can strike Job and his possessions and his family. And so what Satan does is he leaves quickly from the presence of the Lord, and he goes, and one of the first things that takes place in scripture is his livestock is taken out. His family is killed. But then the next thing, Satan takes Job's health. It says that, scripture says that Job was covered head to toe in boils, in these painful spots all over Job's body. And he said the only thing that Job could do was try and scrape some of the ooze and the pus that would come from these boils, just to maybe even partially relieve himself. But there was no relief, no real lasting relief. The enemy had struck Job with the boils. He struck Job with the loss of family. He struck Job with the loss of finances and the flocks. He essentially cursed Job. But what takes place in the midst of that is that God is not finished with Job. He has allowed the enemy to do this, but God still has a purpose and a plan for why this is taking place. And so we come to the point of breakthrough for Job. The point of breakthrough that Job receives is essentially the goal of every breakthrough. In verse 10 of chapter 42 in Job, it says, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had had before. All his brothers and his sisters, everyone who had known him before, came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the troubles the Lord had brought on him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. But even in this verse communicates the after effect of the breakthrough. All that took place in verse 10 is the after effect. It's not the main thing. These are blessings that came about as a result of the breakthrough. The breakthrough actually takes place between 1 and 5, verses 1 and 5, and it's found in a prayer. All the things that God had blessed Job with, after all the things that had taken place in Job's life, the things that God blessed Job with was not the breakthrough. They were only indicators of the breakthrough. They were only the indicators of the real blessing. The real blessing comes in Job's reply to the Lord. It says, I know that you can do all things. No purposes of yours can be thwarted or can be stopped. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things and did not understand. I did not understand things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. And here's the part wherein you can see the breakthrough that takes place. Job says, my ears heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. The point of the breakthrough is that you see God. God is sovereign over everything. And there are so many aspects to him that he uses all different types of experiences in our life just for us to see a new angle or a new perspective of him. And the truth is that in Christ, we'll spend all of eternity learning and seeing new aspects of our real, true, living God. But for Job, Job's breakthrough is that he is without a doubt having a moment. God is giving Job a moment in which he is seeing God with a clarity that he has never seen in his life. He is seeing the God who is sovereign over everything. This isn't visual. This is an encounter with God wherein God explains and gives a part of himself that brings clarity to your heart and to your mind. He's saying, I have seen you in ways that I have not seen you before. You met with me in this struggle. And even though the things that you allowed in my life, they hurt so much, but my eyes were open the whole time to encounter you and to see you in a whole new way. When God spoke to Job at one point in the scriptures, it says that he spoke to him in a storm. A storm just comes up on Job, and Job is witness to this event, and he's seeing God speak through the storm. A breakthrough happens when God speaks to you through a storm, and you see it and you encounter it for yourself. The point of the breakthrough is that you see him. The point of the breakthrough is that you know him. The point of the breakthrough is your encounter. God isn't about us just going about life saying nice things about God. He means for us to have a specific purpose in which we're set about for a specific task in which he created us. God means for us to have a real introduction with him. And he means for us to see him. The point of the breakthrough is in us being set apart, our introduction, and our view of who he is. All of those things make up who we are made to be and what we are going to reflect to the world. If God gives you a breakthrough, ask him why and how you can use it for his purposes in your life. Because none of these people in Scripture who received a breakthrough from God were ever the same again. Their statements about who God is are the statements of someone whose heart and mind has changed from who they thought God was to who he is. When you receive your breakthrough, praise him, proclaim him as sovereign over your life. Let others know that you have, where you have received your blessing, and go before God and find out how you can use the breakthrough that he has given you. May God add a blessing to the reading, to the hearing, to the application of his word. You may be waiting for a breakthrough. You need an introduction. And this doesn't take some grand event or anything. The truth is that your introduction is simply requesting, going before God and asking him for the relationship that he wants to give you anyway. The truth is that while we're talking about a birthright, God always wants to give. While we're talking about a breakthrough, God always wants to give a breakthrough. He's not sitting aside saying, oh, here so-and-so comes, I don't feel like hearing from them, and I'm definitely not giving them anything. The truth is that God says, look, I want to give you a breakthrough. But for many of us, there can be things standing in the way of our breakthrough. There can be idols. There can be things that we set up as substitutes. But the truth is that if you haven't begun a relationship with God, then that's your first breakthrough. Your first breakthrough is to begin a relationship with God and ask him for what it is that you need. And so the first thing you have to do is admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you do wrong things. Admit that he is God and he is sovereign. And then the next thing is that you believe in your heart that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take care of the problem, the sin problem that we all have. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the problem that keeps us away from God, which is sin. And so what you do is you believe, you make the choice to believe in your heart between you and God. Between you and God, you say, I believe that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the wrong things that I have done, to pay the penalty for my sins. And then you confess it with your mouth. You tell him that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And it's in that God says, you have what you asked for. Just like he told Hannah. He said, go that your request be granted. God always grants this request. He always grants the request of a relationship with him. And so it's in that that I just say, ask him. Ask him for your first breakthrough. Ask him for that relationship. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Confess it with a believing heart that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. And God says it's yours. That blessing is yours. And it's on to many other blessings. Life's hard, whether you're a Christian or not. Life is difficult. 2020 is difficult for Christians and non-Christians. But when you come before God and he knows exactly what you're in need of, and he confirms that in all the different ways that he meets you where you're at, you can say like Job said, I heard about you, but now I've seen you. You may have begun a relationship with God. You may have asked for the relationship. You may be a believer 5, 10, 15 years in or 15 days. And you're saying, I need a breakthrough. But I have some things that are standing in the way. I'll say it again. God wants to give you a breakthrough. With all the purposes and the points for his breakthroughs, God wants to give you a breakthrough. He wants to set you apart for that specific thing. He wants to heal you so that you know that there is only one true God, and that you're reminded of that. And he wants you to see him. But there's so many distractions, there's so many things that stand in the way that God says it's blocking my desire to give you this breakthrough. And so for us who have found ourselves in that situation, whether it's something we've done wrong or we're just waiting, the truth is that we're coming before God and we're asking him for our breakthrough. Ask God for help to remove the things that are in the way. And if you don't perceive that there's anything in the way, ask God to give you strength while you wait for your breakthrough. Scripture says, wait for the Lord. Be strong in your heart. Wait for the Lord. Because those who wait on him, they receive renewed strength. They receive their breakthrough. I'm going to pray. Oh Lord, great and mighty God, Lord, your purposes are often beyond what we're able to perceive, Lord. And so while we can look at what we need, whether it's money, whether it's healing, whether it's loneliness in our life, dear God, Lord, we know that you can fix those things. But it's in the breakthrough that we really come to know you, that we really begin our introduction to who you are. And so I pray, Lord, for those of us who are waiting on our breakthrough, I pray, Lord, for strength of heart and of mind, dear God. I pray, Lord, that while we wait, we give you the honor and the praise. I pray, Lord, that while we wait, Father, we continue to tell others about Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that while we wait, we do the work that we know we are supposed to be doing. And for those who who have not yet begun a relationship with you, you can pray with me. Lord, I come to you and I ask you for a relationship. I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I have done wrong things and that I have offended you. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for the wrong things. He shed his blood for the wrong things that I have done. I confess that I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross and was raised again to give me a new life. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I praise you and thank you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on our online worship experience this last Sunday in the month of October. And what we're going to do today as we end out the month on our last Sunday, on our fourth Sunday, we want to just to remember and reflect on the unspeakable gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ, salvation through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. And I praise God for that. I'm so grateful today that I stand today justified, just as if I've never sinned because of what Christ has done for me on Calvary's cross. And he's called us and he's given us the mandate to remember what he's done for us by celebrating what we call our communion service. As often as we do it in remembrance of him. He didn't give us a number of times we should, but what we want to do is make a regular habit of it here in Encounter Life is thanking God by commemorating his wonderful gift and the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ, which made it possible for us to be made right with God. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of our sins. And God sent his only son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16-10 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. His body was broken. His blood was shed so that you might have eternal life. And today we want to thank God for that. So if you have them, if you have your sacraments, if you've got your cup of grape juice or a piece of unleavened bread, or if you got just a piece of bread or wafer, we have the wafers here. I have some here, but if not, whatever you have, I know these are uncertain times. We've been gathering in our homes and we've been trying to do it, in person, some weeks where we have to be online like we are today, we want to make sure that you have everything that you need to be able to celebrate and remember what Christ has done. So whatever it is you have right now, as we remember his broken body and his shed blood, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" You can partake of the bread. Amen. Verse 25 of that same chapter says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God for his amazing, unspeakable gift. Listen, we do this on the fourth Sunday, but let it be something that you do regularly, remembering what Christ has done for us. And when I remember what he's done for me, listen, he died for me so that I could live for him. I pray that you are blessed by the word today. As we talked about breakthrough, look, we look forward to you joining us next month. We're getting ready to go back into the building. We're trying to aim for the second Sunday in November to go back in the building on a reduced capacity. So look, what we'll keep you posted. You're going to have to register online as we go back. But listen, next week, if weather permitting, we'll be back outside at 10 o'clock as well as online at 9 and 11. I pray that God, you are blessed by the word today, and that look, you encounter God's presence. Discover your purpose. Listen, he made you for a relationship. And then when you find that out, you'll experience his power. God bless you. Have a wonderful week, guys.